Welcome in to the Lineup Logic Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Sean Kane. This is the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. This is episode 6 of Lineup Logic. I'm very pumped to keep this moving along. Thank you for listening. For those of you who are following or following me on Twitter, who started listening to the show, I appreciate it. We are currently on SoundCloud, Blueberry, and come to iTunes, Stitcher, all the rest of those formats shortly. Should happen by the end of the week. So that's going to be a huge bump for us. Hopefully we'll keep getting to people and help them prep for these slates. If you do like the show, if you're listening to the show, please retweet, comment, share, talk to me on Twitter. You know, there's not a ton of you right now, but people are listening. I really appreciate that. I'm happy to throw you a shout out. I would be eternally grateful, and even more happily, I'll talk lineups with you on Twitter. Talk. You know, any questions that you have, I'm happy to answer. But before I go too far, I do have to give some shout outs to some folks yesterday on Twitter who, you know, had some positive responses to the pod. You know, frequently out there, I'm trying to connect with lineup providers, guys who are, you know, giving out lineup suggestions, core lineups, cash lineups on a nightly basis to their followers. So if you need some quality lines, some ideas, talk to @NephewBarry and @DFSShane. Both of those guys started listening to the pod yesterday. Really appreciate the love, fellas. Right now, you check their feeds, man. Both these guys are on cash streaks. So if you're in a dead spot and you need some help, @NephewBarry, and that's BERRY, and @DFSShane, one word, DFSShane. Rocking FanDuel and DK respectively. So keep up the good work. Keep getting people paid. And, you know, if you are a lineup provider and you like the show, you know, I like you. I want to hear from you. I'm happy to give you a shout out on the show. You know, sometimes people think these lineup providers, it's a little controversial, you know, just making lineups. People aren't thinking about what they play. But, truth of the matter is I got a lot of love for you guys because you like the challenge of DFS as much as I do, right? It is about the money, sure, okay, fine. But, you know, for a lot of us who want to do this more often than real life, it's about the challenge of the process, the details, diving into the stats, really making sure that you figure out how to fit players in around each other. So lineup providers, you know, hey, find me on Twitter. I'm happy to shout you guys out. All right, it is Wednesday, January 11th, coming off a great slate last night. Tons of competitive NBA action, tons of fantasy goodness, tons of crazy late news. After we broke the pod, I mean, just crazy late news that changed everything on the slate. You know, the Doug McDermott tilt was real. The Doug McDermott tilt, full effect, about 30% of lineups had Dougie Fresh, and man, only scored 5.7 points. That hurt people. Cost folks a lot of money watching him go 2 for 10 from the field. You know, it was kind of one of those situations. I'll talk about it in the lineup breakdown, but kind of one of those situations you really couldn't predict, you know. But shout out to the Bulls and the Bucks for keeping those possible blowouts really competitive until literally the last possession. Honestly, the Bucks deserve a ton of credit. Man, that team and Jason Kidd, they went into San Antonio without Giannis, basically, and beat the Spurs at home. They beat Kawhi when he put up 50 FD points. He put 30 real-life points. You know, okay, LaMarcus wasn't there, and maybe it's different if LaMarcus and Giannis both play, but the team is just playing so well. Chemistry is so clear. Michael Beasley comes back to life, scoring 27. And he looked like he was having fun doing it, man. Good for that guy. He, you know, there were some dark years for him in the past. But anyway, in the next hour, we are going to preview the night to come in the NBA with spreads, injury news, updates. Then we'll follow that with a breakdown of players to target on the slate upcoming. But let's go ahead and let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. All right. Last night, lineup was crazy. The initial lineup that I made on the show got totally thrown off by the late news that Clay would be out and Mirotić would be out. We had both of them starting in the lineup. So, you know, with it, I think this is a great opportunity to talk about, you know, what that late news does and how strategically you want to play, you know, how you want to play when we have a ton of late breaking news like that. Mirotić, Clay, and then Tyler Zeller. That was also big news to get, that Tyler Zeller was out. The first thing was there was literally no one in the same price range as Clay that I liked. Wade was out, and he was the closest one. You know, and then I look into what happens when Clay is off the floor. It's Steph. It's Steph all day. You have to lock in Steph. So, okay, fine. I get Steph in there and get off of Clay. That was the first move that I had to make, right? Mirotić was out. That just kind of made me nervous about the Bulls. Like, it made Taj a really good play, and I did play some Taj over in a couple GPP lineups. Felt good about that. But the rest of the backcourt situation just kind of, I wasn't really sure what to do with it. You know, it was kind of a toss-up, which, you know, McDermott suffered from that. Rondo gained from that. You know, but it was one of those kind of hectic situations where you don't really know who's going to get that bump without Mirotić, because it really hasn't happened. To have those three primary guys out is kind of a situation we don't really know. So we changed off of John Wall, got onto Steph. I changed Clay and went down to Tim Hardaway. Okay, that freed up a little bit of cash. So I went down to power forward, and instead of Mirotić, I got on Julius Randle. And Spencer Hawes. It left me a little bit short. So I put KD in for LeBron. You know, that was $100 short. So it was $100 change. I was fine with that. I had evaluated that situation, right? The reality is all these guys were in my player pool. Like, I had talked up them all on the pod, so I felt comfortable with it. And I'm, you know, this isn't a victory lap. This is just preparation. You know, when you're prepping for these slates, you kind of have to have a backup list of, you know, okay, if this happens, who can I go with? Because you don't want to just fire off, you know, substitutions without any research. Uneducated decisions are going to kind of kill you. You know, and I got on Hawes, and we didn't talk about Hawes because I didn't really know that the Zeller news was out there. But that was just a minutes play, you know, with no Zeller in the lineup. Hawes is getting, you know, near 30 minutes. And it worked. It worked out. The lineup hit 305, which was 50-50 cash. Not great, you know, but it really kind of all depended on Julius Randle hitting value. If Julius Randle hits 35, like he was priced to do, rather than, you know, 20, if he hits 36, excuse me, he's priced to hit 36. If he does that, you know, we're at 321. You know, that's enough for double ups last night. That's enough to just cross the money line in the squat. It's enough for the triple up. You know, it's frustrating, but I think it's instructive of process. You know, I create lineups here to be a kind of a cash core to hit 300. And then you're pivoting off of that for tourney entries, which I do every night, right? You know, one simple change. When I got the news that Giannis was going to get monitored by Kidd, then it was like, okay, Giannis is actually more sick than he's letting on. So I threw one lineup, same exact lineup. Only thing I changed was Jabari Parker because I knew he'd get the usage bump. Parker hits value, and, you know, that's a 320 lineup. That got me a couple bucks. So again, not a victory lap, but this is all strategic process that, you know, as I say, I try to help people become better DFS players. And, you know, I learned this from the guys over at 4 for 4, Chris Raybon and TJ Hernandez, who are, you know, most who are 100% NFL, but like the parameters that they use for DFS and football is just a system that I love. So I'll break that out for you, and I'm happy to talk about it more. But I got, you know, I got to give them credit for it over at 4 for 4. They have this kind of philosophy where, like, let's say you're playing $10, right? 10% of your bankroll. You're building a single cash core, right? And you put all your money on that. Then you take 30% of those lineups, $3, whatever, in this $10 scenario, for example, and you make three pivots with unique changes. But the core is still very the same. You know, so that when guys, you have a fundamental logical understanding of why you rostered your core guys. This is not, you know, I'm not the first person to say this, not at all. And I'm sure a lot of people know this and a lot of people do it and have very similar philosophies. I'm not, you know, saying that this is unique to me or this podcast and just emphasizing that strategic idea, because it took me a little while to figure it out myself. You know, I didn't really realize it, but you start to learn about it in NFL and rest is history. Anyway, pod lineups, 5-1, hitting 300 plus. We're cashing 50-50s pretty regularly here. So hopefully, you know, you can take these core lineups and these ideas and, you know, build your cash lineup and then go from there. All right, let's do it again tonight, Wednesday, January 11th, and take a look at the game. All right, first game of the night is the Knicks at Philly. 211 total in this one. Knicks are favored by 2.5, but I don't know which Knicks team is going to show up. Derrick Rose slated to start again. He's back, but that situation is murky as ever, and it's not a good one. The Knicks situation looked bright for a couple minutes and then just doesn't look very good. No serious injury news in this one to report. The only thing that I'm thinking about really is whether or not we'll get news about the starting point guard in Philly, whether it's Sergio or TJ McConnell. I have to guess it's going to be TJ McConnell just because he's playing really well and he's been getting 30 minutes over Sergio Rodriguez. But we'll see. So keep your eyes posted for that news. Next game, Memphis at Oklahoma City. This is the national game on ESPN. 205 total in this one. OKC favored by 5. But don't sleep on the Grizz, man. Don't never sleep on the Grizz. Beating Golden State twice this year. They give everybody a game. No serious injury news to report in this one. We saw the debut of Kyle Korver in a Cavs jersey. Korver was in some lineups. I'm not playing him yet. Not until he starts to have defined role. So we'll see. You know, he's definitely in the rotation, and they want him. They want him there. You know, they're not going to shy. It's not shy, but we'll see. Houston at Minnesota. No spread in this one, primarily, I guess, because of the Eric Gordon and Zach LaVine news. But both of those guys, Eric Gordon is confirmed out. And Zach LaVine is a game-time decision. He says he's going to try pregame, but doesn't look good. He's pretty doubtful. He's not feeling so hot. Or excuse me, not feeling so hot. He's not, his hip is bothering him. So we'll talk a little bit about that later. Capella still out, which puts Montrezl Harrell and Nene both in play. Washington at Boston. No total in this one as well, primarily because of the Avery Bradley wait and see. Bradley was out last two games, sick, and then the Achilles. He is likely out for this one as well. I think he's reporting as doubtful, but I think he's going to, you know, maybe give it a go. I haven't seen any news about whether or not he was in shoot around or anything like that. So I think he's trending towards out. Makes Marcus Smart interesting and makes Bradley Beal interesting as well, because Avery Bradley's a lockdown defender, but you know, we all saw last night DeMar DeRozan. If you were on DeMar DeRozan, which I was not, it just kind of makes me nervous. He feels scoring dependent sometimes, but DeRozan went off against Marcus Smart, so good spot for Bradley Beal. And then we got the Magic going out to the Clippers. No real game, no serious injury news for starters in this one. Serge Ibaka and Elfrid Payton both have a game time decision tag, but they're not in the best of matchups. You know, Serge is interesting to me, actually. Clippers aren't very good against the power forward without Blake. So interested in Surge there, but you know, if he's limping or anything, I don't want any Surge. He's already too old. And then the second headline game, Cleveland at Portland. No total in this one either just yet. Waiting on some lineup news, I'm sure, making sure that Ty Lue doesn't rest anybody. I don't think he will. Cleveland last night, I watched the Cleveland game. Kind of gets sucked into this Utah pace down, no possessions, you know, no run in the floor. They close out on every three. Rudy Gobert just absolutely was owning Kyrie in the paint. Cleveland was clearly frustrated by it, you know. So Cleveland's going to have a bounce back night tonight and probably take it to Portland, who's coming off that win in LA. I guess they're playing better defense, man. You know, that's what they needed to do in order for that team to be relevant, really, is play some better defense. So that's the schedule we've got in the NBA tonight. But let's go ahead and let's break down some of the players that we love. Who do you love? All right. The lock and load segment here at the top of the breakdown is where I give you high-priced stud players at each position that I feel like are in excellent positions to succeed. You know, breaking down the logic so that you understand which studs at each position. You can't start them all, obviously, but which studs do I want? You know, which are in the best position to succeed at every spot. So at point guard, there's a lot of really nice high-priced options. You know, you got CP3, John Wall, Kyrie is up there. And I was debating Chris Paul and John Wall quite a bit because I'm kind of waiting for that Chris Paul's back game. You know, he had the 51 against Golden State, and I wasn't on him because you didn't really know. And I love the idea of CP3 being a little under-owned, especially when he's at home. In the matchup against Orlando, Elfrid Payton just not really that good. They're kind of allowing a lot of points to the point guard lately. But I looked into it. I don't think you can do too much CP3. I don't mind him in tourneys, but his ceiling is limited because Rivers is limiting his minutes. Since he came back from the injury, he's really only getting 30 per game. So you're trying to keep him healthy. But when he was really doing ceiling things in December, he was hitting more than 34 minutes. So I just don't think in this game, at 30 minutes, at his price, he's going to, you know, hit that 51-point ceiling. I just don't think he needs to, and I don't think Rivers will push him in a kind of, you know, matchup that the Clippers should be able to control. So I move on to the assist machine. Optimus Dime himself, John Wall, he is getting 36 minutes. He's a great play tonight at Boston. Thomas gave up 45 FanDuel points last night or thereabout to Kyle Lowry, who we talked about. Of course, I didn't play him. Lowry, you know, he's undersized, he's scrappy, but Wall, you know, has a lot more size, a lot more strength on Thomas in this game. Should be a close matchup, and the Wizards are playing really well. Right, the record kind of says eh, but they're 7-10 recently. You know, and Wall kind of took over the fourth quarter, and you know, said, "All right, second unit Bulls, we're not doing this at home. We're gonna win." That game winner last night was great. You know, and I you know, John Wall deserves a good year. He's had a lot of really hard years. I want to see him have a good year this year, make the playoffs, be competitive. And he likes being in Washington, you know, especially at home. You can see he likes that crowd and that fan base. So he's had season high in assists last week. He had season high 18 assists last week, and then he had 14 last night. Just do yourself a favor. Go watch some John Wall assist YouTube highlights. You'll see so many Javale McGee and Nene dunks. It'll blow your mind. It'll be like, man, why aren't McGee and Nene getting starters minutes in this league? Wall made him look really good and really athletic, which Nene is a little bit more athletic than McGee. But and honestly, also begs the question, why don't the Wizards go out and buy an athletic center who can run the floor with John Wall. I mean, think about this break, right? I mean, you've got, you know, Morrison Beal streaking to the 3-point line, Wall just crashing through the paint, and then you need, you know, someone like go buy Nerlens Noel. He's got to be for sale, you know. In Philly, the Wiz need one more front court piece in their mind, and I think they could easily make the playoffs. I don't know. Wizards takes. Who needs them? All right, at shooting guard, it is the Beard. James Harden went for 69 points last night. Gotta love it. I talked Harden down when I was talking up Giannis, but of course when Giannis news broke, then it was... you know, it was Harden. Harden was the move, especially with Eric Gordon out, which that news broke super late. I don't love anyone on the end of the back-to-back, but I looked into Harden's number. He's the best plus-minus that he has is on no rest. What? He's plus 17 in 9 games this season. He's coming off back-to-back triple-doubles. And guys, James Harden knows that he has back-to-back triple-doubles. He knows that he's getting that national attention. Dude loves it. Right before the All-Star break, James Harden loves this year. He's having so much fun. Last game against the Wolves, totally flirted with the triple-double. 27-9-13, a steal and 2 blocks. Ceiling game for him, above 60 points. You know, with no Gordon on the floor, you may be saying to yourself, no Eric Gordon, his usage should go up. Doesn't really actually change his usage niche or his scoring index or effectiveness because they pretty much don't play side by side very often. D'Antoni at the beginning of the year was like, well, it's either going to be Eric Gordon pushing the ball or James Harden. So, you know, you look at that and without Eric Gordon, it's James Harden who's going to be the primary executor that they have. Trying to figure out where the value arises for the Eric Gordon absence. You go to Sam Decker and Corey Brewer. They both got 10 extra minutes off the bench last night, so they're both very interesting punt plays. I don't really mind either of them. I think they're both in the small forward position. So tonight, the pricing is a little bit restrictive for Harden. You know, that makes me a little bit nervous. You put in Harden and you're going to have a hard time fitting in some of the other pieces that you like. You know, if you wanted to games, if you're working in cash, I think Harden's a great play. But I do think that there's also some kind of mini game stack possibilities, maybe a little Portland-Cleveland game stack, a Minnesota-Houston game stack, even, you know, a couple Washington-Boston mini game stacks where you're stacking primary usage, primary scorer guys, and that 3 or 4 guys from each of those games. Anyway, that's it. So it's Harden tonight. It's shooting guard. It's small forward. It's Bron. Bron is going to be chalk. Just straight up chalk. He's going to be chalk, no question. He's the highest priced small forward on the slate. And I watched this game last night. As I mentioned, he was literally the only Cav that was alive and well. Like I said, Kyrie struggled so hard against George Hill and Rudy Gobert, and Kevin Love just couldn't make a shot, so he just disappeared. But LeBron gets Portland tonight. Not a great defense. I don't know how they stopped LeBron. Last time, screwed around and had a triple-double, 31-10-13 with 3 steals, 65 FanDuel points in Cleveland. Back-to-back, not a concern for LeBron. He's very consistent. And in fact, strangely, I don't know why this is, probably because of the rest philosophy that they have. LeBron gets 4 extra minutes a game in back-to-backs. Maybe he's the only one who can take it. You know, Kyrie, at the tender young age of 25, his body can't take it. But LeBron, 31, yeah, he can handle it. Doesn't make any sense, but okay. I'll take those 4 extra minutes any day. All the Cavs are going to be chalk. But if the Blazers can keep this game, then it's one of those nights where there's a ceiling opportunity for Kyrie and, LeBron and Kevin Love, who is no surprise, the stud at the power forward position. Kevin Love, 8,100. And I know, you know, exactly what you're thinking. You're going, oh yeah, of course Love's a great play tonight, right? He went for 57 points last time against the Blazers. The Blazers are terrible against the power forward, but after my Julius Randle tilt last night, and after I was like, Julius Randle, what are you doing? So to be clear, I live on the East Coast. I'm East Coast. So, you know, these 10:30 games for me, it's just crazy. I can't stay up that late. You know, I got kids and kids and stuff. So I'm not up till, you know, 1:30 in the morning watching Lakers Blazers. You know, I watched the first quarter. Julius Randle only had 4 fantasy points. I was like, please change this. Get your act together, which he did a little bit. But I looked into it. I'm like, what is going on? Why does he crush value 1 week against the Blazers and then 7 days later? And it's Al-Farouq Aminu. You know, Aminu is back in the starting lineup. He's playing his full minutes. This is why the Blazers signed him, because he's defensively sound. I think he's really helped their defense, really. You know, the Blazers were 46th in the league, or excuse me, not 46th, allowing 46 points to the power forward previously in the season. But with the last 5 to 10 games, when Aminu has been, you know, getting a full 30 minutes, you know, they've gone kind of into the middle of the pack. They've gone to the league average, about 40 points allowed. So, you know, it's not a elite matchup to start your power forwards against the Blazers. It's an average matchup. You know, Love is an above average power forward. And like I said, he did 57 last time against the Blazers. And you can't help but think that, you know, Love, priced at 81, tonight hits 40. You know, I don't think that's crazy. I don't know if it's a 57-point ceiling game opportunity, but I do feel comfortable saying that Love will hit value. This is going to be a high-scoring affair. You know, the Cavs don't really like losing back-to-backs, and if all three of the big three are healthy, and, you know, as long as Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum can score, which they seem to be playing very well, you know, they should be able to stay in this game. Actually, note about Damian Lillard, because, okay, so throughout the point guard research, if you had any Damian Lillard love, I don't advise against that, actually. Lillard's playing well, and one of the things that I noticed in his last 5 games is his peripherals are up. Assists and rebounds are both up for him. So, you know, take a look at those game logs, take a look at the, you know, the last 5 game split, stuff like that. If you like Lillard, I don't see Lillard as a terrible play. Kyrie defense is not really that big of a deal, and you know, I don't mind it. Anyway, that's my Lillard take for this slate. At center, it's Karl Anthony Towns, Big Cat. So last time Big Cat had the Rockets, it was his ceiling game, like his real-life ceiling game. When you talk about how Cat has a 63-point ceiling, that was the Rockets game. He had 41 real-life points, got a double-double, had 63 FanDuel points. You know, and we're thinking about Karl Anthony Towns and that ceiling, and, you know, he hit the ceiling last time against the Rockets, and you're like, oh, man, that's amazing. Okay, let's lock in Towns. The thing that's crazy and very tilting about Karl Anthony Towns is his range, right? 63 is the ceiling, but he has a 26-point floor. He has his game logs. You see every number between 26 and 60. You know, his average is 45, 47 points. That's where he's priced tonight. He's priced at 95, so he's priced to hit 47 points. It's just hard to guarantee 47 points, okay? The Rockets are pretty average against the center. They usually give up an average of 47 points against the center, DVP-wise. But they've improved that recently to 43. You know, Nene is a big body guy. And I think that, you know, having a physical presence like Nene and getting him in the rotation and getting him 5 fouls kind of limits some of the upside some of these centers had when, you know, previously with Capella in there, Capella's playing extremely well, don't get me wrong, but Capella just doesn't have the same physical presence that Nene. Nene has, you know, this very traditional physical presence as a center. So, you know, you get five Nene fouls and all of a sudden, you know, that's costing your center five points. You know, and if Towns goes for 40 tonight, rather than 47, you're going to kind of be like, geez, I wish maybe I had spent that, you know, 9K on LeBron, or wish that I had spent that 9K on John Wall, or, you know. So he is an elite play, don't get me wrong. He is definitely the stud, heads above, but there is a good amount of mid-tier guys, on this slate, you know, in the center position. So Towns, to me, profiles a little bit more as a tournament play. I do recommend owning him somewhere. But, you know, in ownership, I think my guess is ownership will be north of 10%, but not past 20%, because people are going to want to be on Harden and LeBron and Kyrie, you know. So anyway, all right, fantasy grout, mid-price guys, filling in your lineups around the studs, 5 to 8K range, decent tier of mid-range guys. Tonight, you know, some nights it's just so strong that you want to be right in this range. And there's a decent tier tonight. It's not terrible. At point guard, it's TJ McConnell. Point guard is a little thin. You know, Kyrie is 84. So he doesn't really qualify. But I do like Kyrie. I do like Kyrie quite a bit. And why wouldn't you? You know, Damian Lillard is not the world's greatest defender. He definitely prefers shooting the basketball. But McConnell at 5'4 is, my guess is this. My guess is that McConnell is going to keep the job. Rodriguez is healthy, but I think I think McConnell's getting the job. He's got the minutes. They're there. You know, he hasn't really gotten below 30 minutes recently. So his price went way up after he went berserk against the Celtics, $1,300. You know, he went from 41 to 54. So you don't love that, especially considering his ceiling, or excuse me, his average is, you know, about 28 FD points. But he's got the minutes. He's got the minutes, and projections that today aren't in love with him. But, you know, the Knicks are terrible against the point guard. And so I think that in order to fit some studs in your lineup, you've got to save somewhere. And McConnell is at this kind of easy price point where you're not breaking the bank, but you also feel like, you know, you could possibly get 6X out of him. So that's a good thing. At shooting guard, you have kind of this two players that profile exactly the same. And at 58 and 59, it's Fournier and Oladipo. Fournier back into the starting role, back to producing what you're accustomed to, about 30 FD points on a regular night, ceiling of about 40. Price is still below 6K, though. I mean, he's had prices this year that were well above 6. You know, and like I said, he profiles exactly like Oladipo. 30-point average, 30 minutes about. Great cash game play just because of their price. Consistency ratings are really high. You know, and Fournier went for 36 last time against the Clippers. So, you know, that's kind of a nice range for him. That's a 6X plus score if he can get there against the Clippers. But, you know, Clippers are solid defensively. Chris Paul's back, and I think that indicates, you know, that definitely gives them a boost to their defense, and the Magic are on the road. So, you know, Fournier and Oladipo, very similar. You feel comfortable with them. If the money falls that way, that's fine. But honestly, I feel like when I was building lineups, it was either, okay, I'm going to lock in Harden first, or I'm going to wait and plug in shooting guard last. Honestly, that was the way it was. I wasn't really in love with shooting guard tonight. There's plenty of, you know, there's always 4K players in the shooting guard position. It's one of the, statistically speaking, it's one of the best places to spend down because you have the, you know, the highest range of outcomes. Because, you know, you got streaky shooters in there. At small forward, it's Wiggins. Now, Wiggins terrifies me, man. He's one of those guys that every time I play him, he hits his floor. But, you know, that's not always true. And you got to follow process over, you know, instinct, you know, over your repulsion, actually. So my man, Josh Fernandez, wrote an article on his blog the other day, which is kind of, you know, a philosophy blog think piece about Epicurean decision making. And one of the things that he talked about was this exact feeling, repulsion, right? Your instinct to say, my personal opinion doesn't like this. Well, that personal opinion may not lead you to the best, most logical, wise decision. And the best, most logical, wise decision is to play Andrew Wiggins if Zach LaVine is out. Price is down for Wiggins. 6'3 is kind of down price for him. Houston is not particularly good against small forward, bottom half of the league. Defensively, they're good, but they kind of make up for that by having a fourth in league in pace. You know, they're allowing 107 points a game. You know, I am definitely on Wiggins with LaVine out. If LaVine was in, he is the play in any pace up game. Leads the team by a very high margin in fast break points. And had 24 points against the Rockets last time. But, you know, and the Wolves actually had 20 fast break points in that game. So, you know, that's kind of how they want to play this game against the Rockets, especially, you know, pace up, create turnovers and run the floor against them, because the Rockets can just score so fast. You have to get easy buckets. So Wiggins has a 36% usage rate without LaVine on the floor. He's going to be the primary option. He's going to be chalky, but he is a great ceiling, right? He's got 6 games over 40 points this year. 55-point ceiling, which he hit recently when he scored 40 against the Wizards, and the mid-range was just on fire. I would love to see the shot chart. I watched the game, but it was unbelievable. It was just 1-2, pull up. It was like a drill. It was like he was running a drill against Markieff Morris. He is streaky, but that's really what makes him so dangerous, you know? So you got to like Wiggins tonight. He's going to have to get it done for that game to be competitive. And if he doesn't get it done, then we'll all be tilting because he's going to be owned at 50% or more, no question. At power forward, which, by the way, if he's going to be owned at 50% or more, you get it in a cash game, it makes sense. But you have to then also have lineups with zero Wiggins, right? You can't go overweight on Wiggins, because if he busts, you know, and everybody else is on him, because if he's going to be owned at 50% in cash, that means he's going to be owned in the high 30s in tournaments, maybe even more. Then, you know, you have to get off of him somehow. And you have to force yourself to do it, because then, you know, you will absorb the shock if Wiggins, the shock heard around the DFS world if Wiggins just flops. At power forward and center, there's a couple guys, but I'm going to put a tandem together here. It's the Philadelphia front court, Ersan Ilyasova and the process, Mr. Embiid himself. And the first thing that I really want to talk about is how amazingly wonderful the Joel Embiid glare is in his mugshot. He looks like an angry 3-year-old child in a 7'2", 260-pound body. Like, he looks so mad and angry. And it's the same face that he makes when he's on the bench and the Sixers are losing. Like last game against the Celtics, if you watch the end of it when Embiid fouled out, he goes and he sits on the end of the Sixers bench to watch the final possession, and he's not even looking at it. He's looking at the floor. He's got these like eyes barely open. He's like, "Damn, man, damn," you know, like It's amazing. Like, he looks like, not a three-year-old, he looks like he's 13, honestly. And I love Joel Embiid. Mean mug the camera and get away with it. I love it. I love it. No smiles. I'm not going to smile for you. The only person he smiles for is Boogie Cousins. Which reminds me, if you haven't seen the video of Boogie Cousins and Joel Embiid slapping each other on the butt, you have to, and I will tweet it out after I post the show. Anyway, back to the actual statistics. Ersan Ilyasova and Joel Embiid, great killer matchup in the front court against the Knicks. Knicks are just terrible against the center. Embiid has exceeded his salary-based expectations 70% of the time tonight. He needs 38 points to hit value. He has hit more than 38 points 8 times this season, 8 out of 25. So 33% of the time he hits 40-ish points. Ilyasova profile is very, very similar. He has also exceeded salary-based expectations 70% of the time. He's priced at 29 points, but he's done that more than 8 times. So, I mean, you know, these guys are priced well. They're in a good matchup. They're really profiled nicely as cash game plays. And what I think, one of the things that I really like is, thanks to Fantasy Labs, shout out to Fantasy Labs, one of my favorite research tools, is they now have on their player pages a correlation tab. So TJ McConnell's this really strong correlation with basically, he has a positive correlation with every front court player for the Sixers. And Ilyasova and Embiid are right in there. Actually, the highest one is Nerlens Noel, because I think it's just second unit stuff that they had in the beginning of the year. But anyway, McConnell, if he's starting, start him. Pair him with Embiid, pair him with Ilyasova, and you have a nice correlation play and a good matchup there for both players. The other option at power forward is Ryan Anderson. Priced down, 5,200. He was all the way up to 59 at one point. Priced down to 5,200, smoked the Wolves last game, had over 30 FD points. Off night last night, but man, he is in the rotation, no question, and he should be able to hit value or exceed it. And if he goes off, good luck, because he can hit. And then at center, the other really good, core option is DeAndre, who had 47 FD points last game against the Magic, which is their season average for DVP. Not bad, especially considering that Jordan is priced to only hit 37 FD points. So he could go for six and a half X. I'll take it. I'll definitely take it. And I love me some DeAndre Jordan. Although, if you were paying attention and they watched that, the end of that Clippers Magic game, I remember I watched it because it was so close and I was like, what the? Flipped it on. And, Jordan got the post game interview because he had a number of blocks in that game. I think he had like 5 or 6 blocks in that game. So, that's an outlier for sure for him. It's way above average, but he does get the blocks, and if it's happening for him, and the Magic don't learn, then it could be a good opportunity to get a couple extra blocks as well. All right, moving on to the bargain basement, sub 4-5 values. Not great, Bob. Let's break down the Zach LaVine situation, right? Because the reality is that as soon as everybody gets the news of who's going to start for LaVine, if he's out, that guy is going to be massively owned, right? And everybody's going to think they're smart for then taking the next massively owned guy. But that's true because there's just not a lot of guys priced below 4.5 tonight that you can start. So if you want to go fair and balanced and go, with all the 7K guys that are out, the 8K guys that are out there, I always recommend that. I always think it's a strong, viable strategy, and it offers you a unique lineup. I will probably do it, get me some Kevin Love, Kyrie is there at that price, Oladipo and Fournier, DeAndre Jordan. Isaiah Thomas is priced below 9K. So, you know, you can do that lineup, you know, and fade LeBron and fade Harden and kind of go fair and balance with it, just to try to avoid the tilt that will be the LaVine substitute situation. Anyway, so let's break it down. Chris Dunn, backup point guard, he might get moved over to the two, could get some extra minutes. He's interesting, priced super low. I think min price. Ton of fast break points for Chris Dunn, but also a ton of turnovers for Chris Dunn. Yeah. The other guy is possibly Shabazz Muhammad. So he could end up being super chalky. He's a small forward right now, but he's min price. And he will definitely get a minutes bump without LaVine, but he might actually go into the starting lineup because he actually gets a pretty good minutes bump just in general coming off the bench. Like he gets decent minutes. But it could also be Nemanja Bjelica. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. In fact, I'm pretty certain I'm not saying that right. And so apologies to the Bjelica family. I know you're listening somewhere in Europe, wherever you are. Anyway, power forward, he's going to probably – who knows? I mean, the reality is, though, that Bjelica was the one who got – when LaVine went down, Bjelica got the big minutes boost. Like, he doesn't really play a lot of minutes, but he got 20 full minutes when LaVine went down. So – you know, whoever Tibbs goes with and whoever announces it, if it's it's going to be chalky for sure. And, you know, you can either embrace the chalk, eat the chalk and say, you know, boost in minutes, I'll take it. But it's one of those situations, kind of like the Doug McDermott thing to me. You know, you don't completely – Tibbs plays his starter so much that we don't really know who – this isn't like a Marcus Smart situation, right? We know when Avery Bradley goes down. We know when any of the Celtics go down that Marcus Smart will probably pick up the most minutes and get into the start because he's basically the sixth man. You know, he's done it a number of times in a number of different capacities. He did it for Horford. He started over Horford and they played small ball. Right? But this isn't one of those situations. We don't really know what happens when Zach LaVine goes down. Like, we don't know. We didn't know last night what happens when Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, and Nikola Mirotic are all out. We don't know what happens. If you got burned by Doug last night and you don't want to be tilting again in the same exact fashion, my strong recommendation is just fade the situation. Just be off of it. There's other options. There are mid-tier options, you know, in the Portland game. There are mid-tier options in Oklahoma City. There are mid-tier options from Memphis. You know, there's a ton of guys. They're not in the best, most sexy matchups. You know, we didn't even talk about the Oklahoma City-Memphis game. I don't really know who or how to play it. It's not a good matchup for Westy. It's not a good matchup for Gasol or Adams. Oladipo, okay, fine, but he's going to get Tony Allen defense, which, you know, Tony Allen looks like he's like gotten a time machine. So anyway, if you don't want the Timberwolves tilt, go with what you know and either go with Towns or go with Wiggins because their minutes are secure, or just get off those value guys. Like, don't touch them. It's fine. You don't have to play a guy for him to score. Like, you don't have to be on him. All right. So aside from the Timberwolves situation, there really aren't any value locks at point guard. You got Marcus Smart and TJ McConnell, both priced in the 50s. But they're the most viable, the cheapest, unless Chris Dunn goes to the two, in which case he's the cheapest. But, you know, Marcus Smart and TJ McConnell are both very viable. At shooting guard, it's not terrible. You've always got some 4K guys in the shooting guard range. You got Alan Crabb, who's 4'2", you know, total dud last night, but priced well for what his trends are recently. So almost 25, 30 points. But just last night, he just flopped 10 points. Could have made me a ton of money if he hit value. But that's my problem, not yours. And there's always the Clippers guys, right? J.J. Crawford and Jamal Redick. It's Freaky Friday in the Clippers locker room. J.J. Crawford and Jamal Redick. Wow. Freaky Friday Clippers is hilarious. J.J. and Jamal switch bodies and lead completely different lives. But anyway, Redick priced at 45, Jamal priced at 4K. I can't stop thinking about that parody film. And it's not that funny, but it's not that bad either. So regardless, from the Wonder Twins, JJ and Jamal, Triple J, Jamal Crawford's priced at 4K, which is good, a great price for him because he does have a 30-point ceiling. So, I mean, that's – dude, if he gets you 25, you're already at 6X, and that's not crazy for him. You know, with Paul back, it's not great. It's not a perfect situation. You prefer Paul out, but, you know, don't sleep on Jamal Crawford's ceiling. Small forward is actually a decent spot to save, right? You have Aaron Gordon still below 5K, who's got secure minutes and definitely getting plenty of time against the Clippers. You have the, you know, you have the possibility Shabazz Muhammad, and you have a ton of, and I know this doesn't qualify as the real bargain basement, but you have a ton of value guys in, you know, that middle tier of Portland, where you have Mo Harkless and you have Evan Turner. You know, you can feel decent about them. You know, so if you want to kind of spend down, that might be a place to do it too. At power forward, it's okay. It's not terrible. There's a couple spots you could probably go. Jamichael Green's price has dropped, but the minutes are still there. Like, he still starts over Zebo. He basically splits them straight down the middle. They both get like 25 minutes a game. So, Jamichael Green at, I think, 42 is nice for the minutes that you get. Al-Farouq Aminu, still crushing value. Wish I had played him. Was on him originally. Just frustrating. But his price is going up after this one. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the 5Ks on the next slate because he just keeps hitting 30 FD points. The consistency is there for the pricing to jack him up quite a bit. Minutes are locked in what should be a high-scoring affair. You can also chase Nerlens Noel, but I say chase because Noel, that's chasey. That's a little chasey. He's only getting 20 bench minutes. He played a great game against Boston, but, you know, he's a bench guy, and he has a terrible, terrifying floor. At center, it's pretty straightforward. You go back to Harrell and Dene. Montrezl Harrell has had back-to-back 30-plus point performances in the last two games. His price is going up also after this. He continues to get the majority of minutes over Nene. They're in a rotation, but they're in a pretty strict minutes rotation because Nene just – the body can't handle that many minutes. He's a little bit old. So you like Harrell in this spot, and I especially like him stacked with Harden. Again, the correlation evidence is there. So, and it was on display last night. They just have these lob plays that they are running because Harrell is super athletic. Dude is super athletic. Should be an interesting matchup between him and Towns. All right, so let's move on to the lineup lock. This is where I give you a cash lineup, kind of core of guys that I feel really comfortable with today. And as I recommended, you can take this core and pivot and change and find different spots where you want to spend and not spend, and then you feel comfortable, using this core. I'm not trying to say that all these lineups are, a lock, but, you feel good about them. They're logical decisions. So starting at point guard, John Wall and TJ McConnell. James Harden, point guard, we're starting James Harden at shooting guard. Jamal Crawford is shooting guard number two. Small forward is Andrew Wiggins and Aaron Gordon. Power forward, Al-Farouq Aminu and Kevin Love. And then Montrezl Harrell at center. Now, that lineup will leave you $300 to play with, you know, which allows you to move around, move over to, you know, maybe move over to Alan Crabb at shooting guard, maybe move, you know, off of Wall and, you know, try to get LeBron in there. I tried in a lot of different forms and fashions to try to get, you know, LeBron into this lineup. And with Harden in there, you just, you kind of can't. I think it kind of has to be one or the other. But I do like that I have kind of a core three studs, you know, in Wall, Harden, and Love, and then other guys who are in, you know, positive positions to put up decent value. All right, so that is the lineup lock. That is it for me today, guys. If you want to find me on Twitter, my name is Hey Mr. Kane. I am super happy to answer questions about any slate, any player, team, resources I like, whatever. Please retweet, comment, share the pod, and good luck tonight. I will see you guys tomorrow.